at dinner, me, him, my mom, my little sister, eating. It's quiet, and no one said anything. And then out of nowhere, my dad's like, been spending a lot of time in the bathroom, huh, bud?
The hubbub.
And my mom, and my mom was like, Jeff. And I was like, they talk about it?
That's crazy.
That means they've had multiple conversations in bed. Like, well, I don't want to mention anything. My dad's like, well, I think I should be, you know, I don't know. What
is See, I'll do it in front of everyone.
Yeah, I'll embarrass him. Let me embarrass him at a good dinner.
That's a strong dad move. That's just a classic dad move. Dad. You just don't know that because you're not a dad. I would do that to you any day of the week.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Irish Affairs Got the Tank.
I wish you could have listened to the conversation we just had, but I'm sure you'll have it at some point.
At some point down the road. It's a live one today. Bert and I, Bert Kreischer, you know him from Trip Tank and many other things. I don't know. You know what I like doing? Giving shitty credits.
Oh, yeah.
Like when I bring up Bill Burr, I'm like, from Townies, please welcome Bill
Burr. From Townies.
Yeah, shit like that.
You might remember his first special.
we're on the way to Rogan's podcast right now to figure out this bet. But can we quickly just disclaimer that I was not a Welsher and I just wanted Tommy.
You know that's where it's going to start, right?
It's going to be there at some point. You even said he wasn't 6'1".
Yeah.
And we said when we did it, we're like, he's got to measure himself.
Oh, yeah. And you'll see it again. Him and Joe are in cahoots.
Yeah, they're cahootsing.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen? What? This is what's going to whittle down, that it's going to be Ari and Bert versus Tom and Joe.
Tom and Joe. Joe, fucking Joe can do a marathon backwards.
Joe really wants to do a marathon. And I thought when Tommy texted me that he was like, because he texted me privately and was like, hey, no marathon. I think it's a bad idea. I don't want to do a marathon.
You won't do it. We won't. None of us will do it.
By the way, 90 days is undoable.
Plus, you got Australia. You got the Joker's cruise.
I can't do it. I literally, managers and agents lost their minds when they found out I was going to do 90 days.
You have to keep your shirt on stage.
I can still take my shirt off.
It's just going to be like shivering, though.
Here's my idea.
Cold. Please, someone give me a shirt.
I'm ripped. I'm yoked. I was thinking 30 days. Sober October.
So you just had this big goal, and you just cut it in a third.
By the way, I was drunk when I replied to you guys.
Of course.
I was drunk. I was like at a Rockies game.
What did you bring for booze? I brought Lagavulin.
I got Tito's and soda.
Okay.
I was drunk at a Rockies game, and I was like, I
Dodgers
need this.
Rockies or Denver?
Denver. I was in Denver.
Why would you not be high at a Rockies game?
I was high also.
Okay,
we had beers and, like, you know, cold beers and a hot dog, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know, and I was about to go party with Stanhope that night, and I'd been on the road for 6 days, 7 days straight, 12 shows, 2 shows a night, and I was fucking spent. Yeah. And I was like, I got that text, and I was like, I want this. I was like, 90 days. I texted Leanne, and she was like, do it.
She said, do it.
She's like, that's fucking great.
She supports your health.
100%.
Your managers and agents do not.
No.
They're kind of like, who's the one-liner comic who died? Hedberg.
Hedberg.
Or Amy Winehouse's managers and agents.
No.
But they don't really care about your health. They want that money.
I think as I started listening to it, I was like, yeah, there are a lot of like, they're like, as soon as Sal texted us immediately, he was like, please don't do this.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm not, by the way, I was like, I started thinking about it, and I'm like, I will be drinking on that Joker's cruise.
There's no way you won't.
Yeah, I will.
And there's no way you get through Australia with those fucking bogans.
I couldn't do Australia.
Come on, drink, pussy, drink.
I couldn't do Australia.
And the awful weed they have. Like, what choice do you have besides drinking?
And so I was Coke. I was like, I'm definitely going to drink through Australia and Singapore. And then I was like, I'm not going to be on a fucking boat with you, Big J, Sal, all the people I want to party with and not party. So I go, let's see if I could do October.
You would need to go to...
By the way, October would be tough for me.
October will be tough. You would need to go to a country where alcohol is illegal.
To do 90 days?
Yeah.
I would have to change a little bit of who I am to do 90 days.
Uh-huh. You, the alcoholic part of who you are.
No, the part of me that likes impulse. That's my problem, is I like impulse. That's the reason I said 90 days in the first place.
I don't know, man. Impulse to me is when somebody's like, hey, acid, you want to try it? Like, fuck, I've never tried acid before. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is habitual behavior, not impulse at all.
No. Yes and no.
Okay.
Because part of me says, I can do that. See, I don't know if you've ever really dealt with, like, addiction. And I think my biggest addiction is food addiction.
Yeah.
And I know when I did the cleanse to lose all the weight for the first bet we did.
Yeah.
It really fucked with my head.
The bet that I never intended on welching on?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That one. I never realized how often I went to the fridge. Like, how often how much I denied myself.
Yeah.
And I think with booze, that's fine, because I enjoy denying myself for, like, when I'm home. But when I'm on the road, I do like impulse. I love impulse. And I couldn't go on the Impractical Jokers cruise. I'd be really unhappy.
Yeah, like, because at home you're like, well, I'll beat these daughters. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
On the road, you're like, there's no daughters to beat.
And I'm not going to go to Australia and not go have beers. And I'm not going to, like.
So you're already fucking pulling out.
I'm not pulling out. I'm saying this podcast we're doing is to figure out.
We got to figure it out.
Because I said a marathon.
And that's ridiculous, too. That's why I was like, you'll never beat me. You'll never finish a marathon.
And then,
you imagine running, just for a second, can you imagine running 10 miles?
Yes, I have done it.
Okay. And then at the end of those 10 miles, like, good job. Hey, before you stop, run 3 more miles.
I've never done that.
And then when you finish those 3 miles, go, hey, do both of those again right now. And then when you finish with that, 0.2 more miles. There's no way, bro. There's no way.
See, here's my theory.
I'll immediately say, good luck to you guys, and go get a burger. I'll see you when we talk.
Will not do it.
No, he can't do it. He's fucking 480 now. He gained all his weight back.
By the way, you know the Joe and Tom. This is how in cahoots they are.
Yeah.
When they get together, they just talk about how I've gained all my weight back.
I mean, I looked at those pictures, unless you photoshopped them. But you don't photo. You photoshop ridiculous. You don't photoshop a 2 pounds off.
I photoshopped my dick.
Yeah. What?
Have you never seen these?
No.
Oh, these are ridiculous. I'll pull it up. Say what you're going to say.
But I've seen the pictures before and after, and you look worse before than you do now. You look bad in both.
Yeah.
But you look better today than you looked at the day of the bet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's not like, I mean, you're gross. I mean, you know, I don't want to, like.
Yeah. I really appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, but, like, it's not worse. It's better.
Yeah. I'm probably just 220 is what I am. Jesus. But I'm, like, an honest 220.
Yeah.
Like, I think then I was a dehydrated 220.
Yeah. Well, on today's episode of Skeptic Tank, as you find those, it's all about regrets. I did a live one from...
This is a Photoshop.
That's a Photoshop.
Picture.
Yeah, but you made that ridiculous. There's no way those are guns.
This is the first version of that.
Is that not real?
No, that's Photoshopped.
What is it just fatter, like, bigger?
Just a lot fatter.
Yeah, it's fatter. It goes out. It's not even long.
I know. I wanted it to look,
like,
real.
It's just, like, thick.
There, that...
It looks like inflated.
Yeah, it looks swollen, engorged.
Engorged. I got an engorged dick and all this.
But I was like, I'll Photoshop that, and then everyone, and then I put it out, and everyone was like,
honestly, can I give it up for you for a second? I don't know how you get that loaded. You get drunk, for sure. You handle it, but you get drunk.
Yeah.
And manage to stay faithful all the time when I know people are throwing it out to you. I know
that's the easiest part.
What?
Yeah, that's the easiest part.
Why?
I don't have, I don't really have that in impulse. I don't have, like, the sex impulse.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't have, my real impulse is, like, food and booze.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I'm certain it's covering some sort of underlying low-grade depression.
Yeah.
I know food is.
Oh, yeah.
I know food is.
Yeah, they should always, I don't think it's a pubic hair, but it might be.
Sir, just make sure you don't mention the street address we're going to, because we're recording this. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
I just imagined you having to edit that out.
And I won't bother you about
upload.
Yeah, right. Now, this is like when I told Stanhope the girls still believe in Santa Claus. So he's like, don't mention they don't believe in Santa Claus. Don't mention that Santa Claus isn't real. And I was like, Doug. And he goes, you do not want me to say Santa Claus isn't real. But yeah, that first week, I was thinking about... See, I also want to do a bet where people can join in, because...
Sure.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Doug Stanhope said if we do October, he'll be sober.
Doug Stanhope will be sober for October?
Yep.
Oh, man, we're going to lose a lot of
Nate
comps
Bargatze.
In October.
Nate Bargatze?
Nate Bargatze needs to do that to save his marriage.
Yeah, Nate Bargatze texted me. He was like, we need to do some sort of bet.
Yeah, Bargatze can join in for sure.
Yeah, we could do a big group of comics that all could use...
By the way, when someone was like, are you going to be sober? I'm like, I don't want to be. I don't have a problem. I hope this bet doesn't go that direction because I enjoy drinking and smoking pot once in a while.
Yeah, me too. Well, I need to legit cut back. The road is taking a toll on me in a really fucking bad way. Because I was thinking this
the
other night.
That's that road comic, man. They get fat off fucking club nachos and booze.
Yeah. I don't eat at clubs, but I do drink at clubs. And my problem is this is the first time I've ever been making legit money.
Yeah.
And I was realizing this is the first time in my career that there are people that genuinely care that I do comedy.
Yeah.
Like for fucking 15 years. I think if I stopped, everyone would be like, oh, I guess he quit. If I quit now, they would be like, what happened to Bert? Oh, he did not quit.
Yeah.
Like managers and agents and lawyers and people make a living off me. So I get greedy. That's why five shows in Phoenix, six shows in Denver.
Yeah.
So I did Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Denver, Monday in Denver, Tuesday in Denver, two shows a night.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
The works?
Yeah. It was great.
I still got
sold them out clean.
January.
Clean. It's the first time I've ever sold out fucking shows in my life.
What do you mean sold out clean?
Meaning like before you get there, all
the
shows were
sold out.
Wait,
you did what days to what day?
I did. They've sold out the fight in fucking Phoenix. The night of the fight. And then sold out Sunday. Two shows Sunday in Denver. Two shows Monday in Denver. Tuesday.
It is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of summertime.
Yeah.
That helps. Although,
no,
really, most people work.
Summertime's
dead. Yeah, good point. Especially in Denver, people want to be out hiking and shit.
And then met up with Stanhope's Wednesday night, and then went to Wendy's house and had a pool party and did a podcast with Stanhope.
I saw that. That's great.
It was so much fucking fun.
That's great. All right, we're almost there, so let me intro this fucking episode.
What is this podcast about?
Regret.
Hey, when's this air?
Now, if I have time, I'm going to upload it right now.
I'm in Singapore. Yeah. I'm in Singapore September 9th, Perth September 11th. Sydney, September 13th, Melbourne, September 14th, and Brisbane, September 18th, I think.
Wow. That's going to be a great
trip.
So
please,
where are you going to Melbourne? Comics Lounge?
No, theater.
Okay.
A theater that, quite honestly, is a little bigger than I should be playing, I think.
You'll see how you're doing in Australia. They're great crowds.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Go to BertKreischer.com for tickets.
BertKreischer.com
for tickets. Three Berts. It's about regret. I did a live one in Montreal. I don't usually do live ones.
Oh, yeah.
So I had Funches, Andrew Santino, and Ron Funches, Andrew Santino, and Dan Soder.
Oh, that's great. I got Soder on my podcast next week.
Oh, great.
Netflix special. The comedians.
Yeah. Yeah, he just did a... Well, I introduced their credits when they get up there. But
how are you going to post this?
I just want my computer. It? If I have 10 minutes, I'll quickly edit and throw it up.
Nice.
15 minutes. Do you have any regrets you can think of offhand?
Yeah.
What?
Say you can do nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I regret working for Travel Channel. Mm. I don't. Like I had a great time, but I think I missed out on a lot of my daughter's childhoods, and I have a genuine regret that I allowed myself to work 2 weeks at a time with 1 week off for 7 years.
Wow.
It is one thing I will genuinely regret until I die.
Wow.
I think we're right here. We're right here.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, Rodeo Drive.
Wait, get out my side. Wow, that's a big regret.
Yeah. It was short
money.
Until
the day you die, which if you do 90 days, will be quickly.
That's the other thing that drives me nuts. Everyone's like...
People are like, you'll die.
And it's like, I'm like, guys, I definitely stopped drinking for a couple days.
Dude, I was looking for John Daly videos of him having the shakes on fucking 7th tee.
Yeah.
Where he was trying to withdraw.
Are we done?
Yeah, we'll come out this way.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, sir. Are you supposed to tip Ubers?
No, you're doing it online. Unless you want to do it live.
I think I got everything.
It's so warm.
I got everything right. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. See you later. So that is a big regret.
Yeah. Because if I just stayed doing stand-up, I'd probably be the same place I am right now.
Yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't have had a house. Maybe I did it for the comfort of my family.
Yeah.
I wanted them to have a house. I wanted them to have all the things they wanted, you know, tutors and
orthodontists. Do you ever go back and think about what you mean by comfort? Like, go back to what you once thought of was amazing, and then you go back and go, no, actually, I wish we had an apartment, not for, per yeah. se that, but apartment, but then I was there every day.
You know, yeah, I think about that a lot. And by the way, I'm having regret a little bit with as hard as I'm working right now. Yeah. And I think I will genuinely regret that if I drive myself into the ground.
You know what I do?
What?
When I go through like Scandinavia or something, I try to take a day off in between shows. So I would show Monday, then a show Wednesday, so then I could see a fucking city. You know, it's different with you. You want to be home with your family, but like, yeah. I don't know, enjoy life a little bit. Instead of just like, get these jobs in, get these fucking work in. It's like, yeah. I don't know, fucking, what do you want to do in, you know, Iceland? Like, hang out for a day.
Yeah, I was in the middle of Denver. I was like, why did I have two shows Tuesday? I had two shows Tuesday because I was greedy.
To tack it on.
And I was like, I'm already here.
There is that.
You know?
There and is then, that.
And I just agreed to way too much press in Australia because I go, it is, I'm there. Why? What the fuck? Why wouldn't I do their biggest late night show? Why wouldn't I do it?
Absolutely.
But then I'm like, man, I should have just slowed down and enjoyed a day. That's the one thing I would say to anyone. Just slow down. I was too fucking hungry. Leanne was losing her mind in her job, and I was too hungry to go, you know, maybe this comedy thing will work out. I was like, we need a house. So I started jumping off buildings and fucking throwing myself off things.
Yeah. Damn.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
You get to that point where you're like, I don't know, it's like autopilot, right?
Dude, just
say
yes.
This is what we're supposed to want.
Just say yes.
Just say yes. Hmm. Well, that's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
So then it's like, I think maybe it's like, all right, still go and do the Australian stuff. Do the thing.
Do the Australian tour.
But then, like, take a month off after that.
Oh.
Make some money. And then
tough with that.
Oh, because you keep taking out home loans?
No.
You never do research out of spite?
Yeah.
After that thing about the home loans and stuff, I did all this research on actual economists. They're like, no, that's a real theory that you should never get in bed with banks.
Yeah, that's
you really
that's
should only buy
Bill
stuff
Burr's
on.
Theory.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, yeah. It's not just me. I'm an idiot, but like actually really intelligent people also believe that. So yeah. I don't know what to think. So I'll get the smart people who agree with me and say, yes, them.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go in. Ari, for Burr Kreischer, thank you very much. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 302, live from Montreal, from the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. I regret nothing. You gotta name it something. With Ron Funches, Andrew Santino, and Dan Seller. Starts now. Edith Piaf.
Non, je ne regrette rien. Ni le bien. Allumer le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours, je repars à zéro. Non. Rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie, car mes jours. Ça commence avec toi.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome to my podcast. We have to play essential music, but I think it's so fucking dumb that I was like, I'm just going to talk over it. until it's done, until it's finished. There might be announcements at the end too. I'm not really sure, but I'm just gonna keep talking, and then hopefully it'll be over soon. This song is gonna be in my head when I die. I've heard it so many times. So here's the deal. Who's listened to this podcast before? Probably a few, right? Otherwise, why would you be here? Why would you be here if you haven't heard it? What are you hoping for? All right. Anyway, so here's the deal. I usually choose a topic and then cover that with mostly comedians. So I'm going to bring up some comedians. We're going to talk about regret. I don't know. I personally regret wearing these shorts because I'm going bike riding afterwards and I didn't think about it. So help me welcome my guests. All very funny people from Bazillions on Showtime and The Bonfire. Dan Soder. Soon to have his own special when the fucking industry wises up. One of the funniest men in America, Mr. Ron Funches.
Yeah.
And from the Showtime special, I'm dying up here, and his own Showtime special. Oh, that was a series. Whatever. Please give it up. Edgar Santino, everybody.
Yes.
And the last chair is for my father, who never comes.
Is that a joke you have?
No.
Okay, cool. I just hit my head. All right, so.
But I'm amazed that you clearly didn't try to dress at all.
Yeah.
This is going to be my festival gear for tomorrow, by
Hike
the way.
Life. Yeah. Life.
Counselor gear?
Yeah. Yeah.
Drop off your kids with Ari Shaffir.
Yeah. Safe. You do blend with the chair well. You're all different shades of red.
Oh, yeah.
You're like one of those bloods that refuses to wear blue.
I'll be like one of those guys in San Francisco who just waits here until people walk by and they go, boom! And then suddenly try to turn that into money.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do, I think. Let's all just talk about some regrets we've had and then mock each other.
Let's have... Okay. What? Talk about what?
Regrets. That's what I'm choosing.
Fuck, yeah.
I'll go first, I guess, unless you guys want one.
Right I'll start agreeing to do this podcast. No, I'm that's a joke. Now, all right, you guys are a serious bunch.
Well, and fun. now we mock, right?
Yeah, now
you
we
had
mock
nothing here. Else going on, so this was kind of
yeah. It seems like you would have the most regrets, so you should go first.
Me? Yeah. I thought of one. I was I don't know how old I was. 14, 15. I was taking a bath. And that's not the part.
That's not it.
And it was my birthday, and my mom walked in to the bathroom with my brother and sisters to give me my birthday present. And I was so fucking like nervous around my body, and I wanted my privacy, that I just started screaming at them to get out. But it was like, they were like, happy birthday. It was like a nice moment. But they had gave me a Polaroid camera, and I was like, get out! Get out!
Who reacted first? Your mom?
The brother and sisters laughed pretty hard. And then my mom was like, oh, maybe I made a mistake here. I guess he's getting older.
Yeah, it seems about just about learning about boundaries there. I don't
feel like... I love Punches' voice.
I feel like you made the wrong move. That you should just... They got to respect your changing body.
Yeah.
That is true. And you're wet and sitting down.
Yeah.
That's a bad time for cake.
It's never a good look.
Yeah.
It just really says you guys didn't have a lot of money because they were like, we don't got decorations. We got to get him while he's in the tub.
They go, quick, curveball, it's him in the tub.
Instead of surprise me when I got out with a fucking banner that had on the dot matrix printer. Yeah.
Close your eyes, Ari. Instead, it's get him now! So what do you regret about that?
I regret yelling at them, man. It was a nice fucking moment. And then afterwards, I calmed down. I finished my bath and the shower, and then...
Bath and shower?
You gotta wash it off, man.
Yeah, two for two, I guess.
Well, you bathed, then showered.
Yeah. You drain, you shower.
That's I've heard of people that do this. Very tedious.
Because what is it? There's muck left over from sitting in your own shit, and then you have to shower it off?
Yeah, and then also, back then, I would also jerk off in the bath, and the little particles of jizz would get in my leg hair, and...
You wait, your legs would collect cum like a reef?
Yeah.
Like, why would you jerk off in a tub?
Yeah, wait till the shower part.
I was afraid I'd slip, man. Yeah, now, I mean, I'm older now. I get it now. But back then, I was learning about my body and stuff.
Were you yelling because you were about to jerk off?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember.
But I get it. I get it a little bit in the tub. Right? Sometimes you just got to let the chips fall where they may. Yeah.
Oh, I'd also do this thing was when the shower, when the whatever, the...
Yeah, faucet.
Yeah, no, you know. The
spout, spigot.
Yeah, all the stuff that comes out.
Where can we not find this word?
Faucet?
Water, but like, whatever.
Oh, God, it's a great tube of water that gives us baths.
I would put my dick up on my chest, and then I'd let the water hit it, and then I'd just move up and down, and I'd turn off like a woman.
Oh, we all get that. We get that.
You titty fuck your shower, kind of? That's a titty fucking move.
Yeah.
Faucet fuck. It was a faucet.
Faucet fuck.
Faucet fuck, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm into faucet play.
Have you ever, when you first discovered jerking off and you tried it in different positions and all that, did you ever put your finger in your ass, your free hand?
No, I never did that, ever.
You never free hand?
No.
Did you guys ever
follow-up question?
No. Then,
yeah.
You have the floor.
No one leads you down that road without going down it first.
Did you ever put your finger in your ass while you were learning how to masturbate?
Absolutely, yeah.
Was it just like...
I can't be the only person. If you're a man in here that's admitted, did you ever put your other hand in your ass? Anybody ever try it? Thank you, sir.
This man that looks like Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, the guy also looks like he jerks off with a hiking stick. He's like, if I'm going to go up this steep hill and jerk off, I better have leverage.
Is it just because you don't know what to do with your hands, so you got to rest it somewhere?
No, I think it's because like a friend of mine told me that...
What kind of freaks are you hanging out with?
Progressive ones.
Yeah, they're very open.
They go, do you really want to increase your sexuality?
Like, why did you do it, right? You just, because you heard it might be a fun thing to do, maybe.
Explore.
Yeah, explore. Thank you, sir. Man. We were exploring our bodies just the same.
What did you find?
My prostate. Yeah, it was actually very fun. You enjoyed, didn't you not? Yeah.
For
years later, I felt shame, and then maybe 6 or 7 years later, I tried it again. I gotta tell you, I liked it just as much.
Did you hit the prostate on the first go?
No, you don't go that deep right away, dude. You gotta
finger the
yeah, you gotta dance around.
That's
you
the
don't,
exact
you don't jump into plot the
of Moonlight.
That was my childhood. I don't regret that, by the way. That's not my regret. My regret was in college. I wrote a girl on my hallway a note confessing like how much I like had feelings for her. Oh. And then I came home. This is out of an.
Had you already been dating her?
No. It was like I was such a quiet loser. I didn't even talk to her once. And so I wrote a note being like, "This will like earn her respect." Of like a guy writing a sweet note and. I came home to the dorm one day, and I watched her laughing at the note with another guy from our home.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, that's painful.
That's hard.
I mean, like, it was so painful that I was in, you know, like, I opened the hallway door, and I was walking and watching them doing it, and we all made eye contact, and I just had to keep walking by them as what? If I didn't know what
did
note they
were do from. The polite thing of, like, oh, like,
no fucking way. No
they're
way.
They're like, yes.
There's fucking dickhead right here.
Really?
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
one? The ginger?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Do you want me to tear it or do you want to tear it in front of him?
We should fuck on top of it.
So yeah. Just went. How about I wipe my cum off it? He's like, yeah.
That's always the fear when you write anything like emotional to a woman. Like, she's going to be getting fucked doggy style when she reads it.
Right, she reads it, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You put a lot in it. There's always like, that's like a lot of regrets, I think, is just it comes from dating and that. I have a regret from when I was in college. I like had a huge crush on this girl from Ohio. She's from Akron, Ohio.
That was your first mistake.
Yeah. And I just kept being like, hey, do you want to go out? You want to go out? She's like, no, I don't, you know, maybe this. And I just like all semester would be like, hey, we should get dinner sometime. I just wasn't picking up the hints. Yeah. And finally, I'm like, it's the end of the semester. I'm like, I'm just going to like fucking go for it. And we're walking out of class. And I go, hey, do you want to get dinner this Friday? And she goes, Dan, I have a boyfriend. In front of everybody. Oh, and it was Jesus. One of those things where you're like, hey, what are you talking about? And everyone in my class was looking at me like, is this guy being aggressive? And I was like, no, I just didn't pick up a hint. And I just had to walk across like this lawn by myself.
She could have told you months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a nice thing to do.
But she kept just putting it off like, oh, I'm busy this weekend. And then
from
like,
that
blew
voice,
up.
She sounds very lovely.
Yeah. I just found out she follows me on Instagram.
Really?
Who won?
Get
huh?
a second try.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do you think, regrets. She regrets.
What's that?
Do you think she wanted you to ask her out?
Not from that reaction. Oh. That was tough. It was in front of my whole fucking class. Oh. And then I just had to walk across a lawn.
I once told a guy, this Asian guy, nerd in college, that.
All right, we're gonna step on him.
Yeah, he liked this guy, this girl Miriam, this Asian girl, but the hottest Asian girl in University of Maryland, and he
Miriam
was like, "I like
a great
her."
Name.
Yeah, it is Jewish name usually.
Never, I take it back then, I guess.
And I was like, "Ask her out. What's the worst that could happen?" And he did that in the dining hall, and she goes, "With you? Are you kidding me?" And I was like, "Man, that was worse than I thought was the worst that could happen."
Yeah,
give bad advice on that.
How deep with these regrets do you want to get?
As far as you want to go, man.
Fuck.
Funches.
Yes.
I want to hear yours.
Oh, thank you for asking.
If you think of it.
I don't really have that many regrets because
I just
live my best life. But if we're going to do dating wise, it's probably just the fact that, you know, I didn't get divorced earlier. Like,
at what point after the divorce do you backlog it to know when you should have gotten divorced?
Good question.
I think, like, for the first 6 months, you're kind of, like, in shock and just trying to readjust to living this new life. And then, like, 6 months later, when you're finding, like, dating people and having fun and being told that you're not a piece of shit, is like, oh, what? I thought I just got told I was a piece of shit every day.
Oh, cool. This is so cool.
Yeah, and you just learn, like, oh, that's not normal. It's not normal things.
Ari and I did Bonnaroo together in 2015, and that experience made me regret not breaking up with my girlfriend I was with at the time, like 6 months before, because Ari's the most honest person in the world, and we were doing mushrooms with Ralphie May. Can I tell the joke that you made up?
Yeah, I don't remember it.
My girlfriend and I were legitimately fighting the entire trip of Bonnaroo.
She was garbage.
Yeah.
God. It was like Big J was sneaking off to smoke cigarettes, and he was sneaking off to go fucking take an ear beating from this bitch. Oh, it was the worst.
I was being bullied the entire weekend. God. But we're hanging out with Ralphie May. We walk away, and Ari goes, what do you think's going to last longer, Ralphie May or Soder's relationship? And in that moment, the honesty that flooded through my body where I was like, fuck, I'm in a bad one.
Every time we're like, hey, let's go see that band. And Dan would just turn to get permission. Yeah, right?
Oh, dude, the best was...
you guys don't know it like I know it.
The best was, there's porta potties behind the comedy stage at Bonnaroo. And then there's like this fancy bathroom. And we were going to the comedy tent. And I'm like, all right, I got to piss. And I walked to the porta potty. And she goes, you're going in there. And I went, yeah. She goes, you're going in there. I'm like, yeah, that's where you put pee. And then she did like hot girl upset. And I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, I want to go to the bathroom too. And I was like, all right, so go to the porta potty next to me. And she's like, I'm not going to go to a porta potty. And at that moment, it was like, you're a real shithead. I remember being in a hot porta potty peeing, being like, how do I get out of a relationship?
She wants you to suffer with her.
Yeah.
Oh.
She must have been real, real hot.
Yeah, dude. It was
she
crazy.
She wasn't even, though, man. She wasn't even.
All right, I'm hearing two different stories.
She was an LA 7.
Mm. All right. Well, she was cute. Was this before your show?
Yeah.
Okay, then I get it. Yeah. It's a sliding scale. The more successful you get.
No, she was definitely the hottest girl I was ever with. And it just would bully me. Jay,
so
Christine, and I went to, at the last night, we were going to get food. And we're like, we asked the van driver, we're like, there are Wendy's around here? We're like, yeah, we'll go to Wendy's. And my girlfriend's like, I'm going to go to the hotel. And I was like, all right. She goes, are you going to go get Wendy's? And I was like, yeah.
Yep.
She's like, are you really going to go get Wendy's? I'm like, why do you keep asking questions twice? And then we got Wendy's. She was mad. She went to the hotel. I got Wendy's, and she did the classic angry girlfriend thing. When I walked in the hotel, she just had a book open and was in bed with the light on. And you're like, you're not that person. Stop acting like you're that person.
If she could have cooked a dinner and made it get cold before you got back,
yes,
she would have done that.
Yes, that's what she wanted. She wanted a candle at the end of its wax. Be like, what'd you get, a double? I made this for you.
That reminds me of me going, I was in Israel, staying with my aunt and uncle, and I decided to wear a white polo shirt for Shabbos, and then I got out of the shower and put that on. She goes, are you wearing that? And I was like, no, of course not. Changed. The tone was enough. But you were at that Bonnaroo, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
With us?
I was there. I was on mushrooms. I was having a great time.
You were living your best life.
I was living my best life. I had no worries at that point. most of my regrets are mixed with just things in the past. Like, I wish, like, again, I wish I gotten divorced earlier, and then I wish I had just lost weight earlier. Because, you know, I lost like 140 pounds.
Gosh, damn, man.
140 pounds, and the fat guy up front had to breathe heavy to fucking give you that applause.
But I understand. And at the time, it was like you start just trying to convince yourself that you're like, oh, I'm just not like, no, I just never want to go scuba diving. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to fall apart.
Yeah, there's a 250 pound weight limit, and I'm not interested in that.
How much did you weigh before?
At my heavy, I was 360.
360?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great that you lost that much weight.
It's cool to be at a weight where people go, oh.
And we really all just reacted like he had been to space.
Yeah.
360. That three barrier, that's a big one.
I mean, King Kong Bundy did it.
Yeah. How big was King Kong Bundy at his height?
Like 350, mm-hmm. 375.
Wow. I'd say around there, yeah.
Wow.
When did you start feeling like immediately when the weights start dropping, you start sleeping better, just feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it was just always like little weird things that like were real embarrassing. Like, I remember one time I fell asleep on an airplane, and then a lady like woke me up, and she was like, I don't want to bother you, but like I'm a doctor, and I think you might have sleep apnea, and you could die. And I was like, that's not fun for a stranger to come up and tell you.
Also, when you're on a plane.
Yeah.
That's bad diagnosis to get on the ground.
That's true. And it's just like, it's just weird that, you know, when people are like, don't even know you, and they're like, if I don't say anything, I'm gonna feel bad, you know.
Oh man,
do you still have it?
Do you still have what?
Sleep apnea?
No,
you can get rid,
you got rid of it.
Great, I'm doing good, my knees don't hurt, I'm not worried about seatbelts on airplanes. I'm doing very well.
My favorite thing
is the best ad for losing weight I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
what'd you do? How'd you do it?
I just did it, which is fun because now my doctor is like,
right, well, you can't just skip, you can't glaze over it like that.
I just did it. It's easy and hard as fuck. You just stop doing things you like and start doing things you hate. Yeah.
That might be the greatest pitch for losing weight ever.
My favorite is seeing people all over this festival look at you and go, did you get a haircut?
Yeah. People are just like, it's fun because then it's like people are just real rude to you. They're like, I don't know who the fuck you are. And then they change. It's fun. I like it. Or sometimes girls are real weird and they think they're being nice, and they're rude as fuck. And they're like, oh, are you Ron's hot younger brother? And I was like, no, bitch, I wouldn't fuck you then and I won't fuck you now.
Yeah. I like this new Ron. Fuck.
Thank you. It's very confident.
I like this. Yeah.
What was your biggest vice when you were heavy? What was like the thing that kept you the heaviest?
I just think it becomes like a real weird thing. Do regrets is like the things where you're like, oh, I have a problem, would be like, oh, let's like get McDonald's and a burrito for dinner, you know? Let's make a stop at two different fast food places for dinner.
I'm always, one of my best friends is like 450 pounds, and the way he eats like that, it's impressive. And then as an alcoholic, I'm like, oh, I get that. Because like the way I used to drink, I would be like, you know, like Nate and I would be having a beer, and I'd be like, do you want to do a shot of whiskey? And he'd be like, it's 11:30 in the morning. And I'm like, yeah. But that's like a burrito with McDonald's. You're like, I'll fucking do shots at the airport. Yeah. I walked on a flight. This is a regret. Yeah. I had a layover in St. Louis, and they're like, the flight got delayed 45 minutes, so I went and smoked a cigarette, and I was like, I'm going to have some beers at the bar. Then I started doing shots with the bartender.
What?
And then I looked at my gate, and it was empty, and I was like, oh, shit. And I was the last one to get on the plane, but I just reeked like whiskey, and I was like, walking down that aisle like, sorry, everybody. Just talking to Clint over at the Applebee's at the Terminal B. Guy's going through a rough patch.
You're a 75-year-old retired man in that moment.
I'm just coming in like, man, I am my dad. Because, that's like, this is my first time back without drinking at the festival, and it's weird to be
oh,
like,
really?
Oh, yeah, dude, I would fucking shark right to that Hyatt bar.
Is it triggering?
Yeah, you got to stay away from that.
Yeah.
Because I also realized it made, like, some of this parts of this festival, like, palpable.
Most of it.
Yeah, where you're like, all right, I'll do shots. And some guy's like, so what's going on? And you're like, can you order me a Jameson real quick for this? It's like old Civil War surgery. I love that. If I'm going to bite, take this bullet of conversation out of me, can I at least have 3 fingers of whiskey?
I love when you get to the bar and you see somebody wearing like a button-down shirt, so you know they work not on your side of the And then they're like, you're waiting to buy a drink. Like, can I get you one? I'm like, yeah. Like, I work at, I don't care. Give me my liquor.
Yeah.
Just get it and walk away.
Whatever your 3 letters are, give me my happy juice. But
do you not drink at all anymore?
Yeah, no, I haven't had a drink in 4 years.
Oh.
It's not. I get high like a motherfucker, so it's not. Let's not start sucking each other's dicks.
Get high a lot and do mushrooms and MDMA.
Yeah, MDMA, mushrooms. I'm going to do mushrooms already tomorrow. So, yeah. No, I'm still fun.
I was with Joey Diaz once. He was on stage. He goes, I don't smoke pot anymore. Everyone started booing. He goes, oh, no, I still do tons of edibles and stuff.
just
my lungs. It's my lung situation. People are like, yeah, all right. I'm going to be behind that.
It's weird how humans just want to know that you're fucking yourself up in a different way.
Yeah.
How do people treat you so much differently than when your friends, when you stop drinking? Were people like, what? Why?
Yeah, the one that hurt the most was my family, because I come from an Irish family, and they're kind of like,
I can't quit.
Yeah, really? I mean, dude, legitimately, this was a question.
If I tried to stop drinking, I'm not kidding. It would be like, it would be a thing.
Here's the thing: you don't realize you go through it. They still treat you like shit.
Yeah.
Like when you go past it. But what's weird, the thing that hurt the most was like my mom, who's like knows how bad of a drinking problem my whole family has. Like, especially my dad's side was like real bad.
Yeah.
But then my mom, like when I quit, she just goes, I quit for like 3 months. And she's like, so that's it? And I go, yeah. And she goes, forever? But like in a disappointed tone. We're like,
we can't enjoy Christmas anymore.
I mean, dude, my mom and I grew up just single mom and me. Like, I grew up just my mom and I. We'd get fucked up on Christmas.
Yeah, no, that's Christmas.
Yeah. We just start drinking all day, and then now I just watch my mom get tanked. And then it's just like, all right, I guess I'll get high and judge you silently.
That's one of my favorite activities. That's why I do this whole festival.
Do your parents know you guys do drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom does. She used to always try to get me to quit, and my sister was a big old snitch. Because we're like kind of the opposite. My sister's real serious, and she became a doctor and is real conservative. And I'm like, I'm a clown. And so my mom would always try to get me to quit smoking pot. And then one day she just came over to my house, and I wouldn't smoke pot around her. And she goes, you look like you want to smoke pot. Because I'm just jonesing, because I always do. Yeah. And then I was like, yeah, but I thought you would be mad. She's like, oh, that was before, but you make more money than me now, so I can't tell you what to do. That's the rules. And I go, I just learned the rules of life.
Oh, man.
My parents know. They know. Well, they know I smoke pot. They don't know anything else. And it's almost like when you're Irish and Catholic, you just push everything down. You pretend like you didn't hear it.
Yeah.
So like, even though my parents have seen shows where I told this Vegas mushroom story, and my mom was like, what is that in Vegas? What did you do? And I was like, oh, it was this mushroom story. And she's like, what, you did real mushrooms? And is it real? Is all that real? And I was like, well, yeah, mom. And she's like, oh, yeah, I thought it wasn't. I bet it wasn't real.
You go, oh, mom, yeah, no, it's real. Mushrooms.
There's this weird, like, Catholic suppression of, like, fucking, you just pretend like it's not a reality. It's almost like when there's a gay member of the family.
Yeah, they don't acknowledge it.
And they're
it.
Like, well, you know, he's just unusual. And you're like, no, he's fucking gay. Fucking, it's his boyfriend. Why the fuck?
No, it's just his friend.
It's his buddy. You don't know their relationship.
They're just roommates. They're just roommates. I'm roommate.
No, you don't know. They fuck each other in the ass. Why can't we all pass the peas? Let's get over this.
My mom told on me. Because she listens to the podcast, she listens to this. It's so fucking annoying. But we were sitting around the fucking table, and then my dad looked down and, like, get some bread or something, challah, let's say. And she goes, you know, Ari does mushrooms, and he didn't hear. I'm like, what are you fucking telling on me, mom?
You snitch. Snitches get
That's
snitches.
How she said it?
Yeah. What?
She goes, you know, like
Ari does mushrooms. Yeah.
Like it that way?
Yeah, and the first time, I was like, are you telling on me?
Yeah.
Let me give you the most embarrassing telling on me. My dad loves to fuck with me, and when I first, I know we're going back to the first started masturbating thing. When I first started, I would lock myself in the bathroom for, you know, hours at a time.
Wow.
And my father, knowing, being a man, having lived that experience, knowing what I was up to, it's like, let's not say anything. Well, oh yeah, at dinner, me, him, my mom, my little sister, eating, it's quiet, and no one said anything. And then out of nowhere, my dad's like, Been spending a lot of time in the bathroom, huh, bud?
The hubbub.
And my mom was like, Jeff. And I was like, they talk about it?
That's crazy.
That means they've had multiple conversations in bed. Like, well, I don't want to mention anything. My dad's like, well, I think I should be, you know, I don't know.
I'll do it in front of everyone.
Yeah, I'll embarrass him. Let me embarrass him at a good dinner.
That's a strong dad move. That's just a classic dad move. Dad. You just don't know that because you're not a dad. I would do that to you any day of the week.
Have you caught your kid jerking it?
Hmm?
Have you caught your kid jerking it?
Oh, yeah, but he's indignant about it because he has autism, so he doesn't really care about anything. So, like, I come in the room and see him masturbating, and he's just legitimately like, well, are you coming or going? Because I know
I told you not before you come in.
What? So we're doing this.
It's like playing a video game where you don't know where to pause or not.
Yeah, he's playing online, so he can't pause.
that's the weird thing about being raised by a single mom is there was never that thing, you know, like I didn't have a dad be like, are you jerking off? But my mom found my porn, and instead of confronting me about it, she just erased it. So I felt like a government agent, and you're just like, all right, we don't talk about that. And she found it, and it's gone, and I don't bring that up.
When you say erased, what do you mean? She found it on what?
She, like, threw it away. I had all these, like, Playboys and, like, Penthouse, and then they were, like, in my closet, and I'd reach for it, and it was under something, and then I reached, and I just felt like...
It's gone.
I was like, what? What?
Oh, no.
And then my heart drops, and you're like, what? 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 And you're like, let me jerk off. Let me clear my head out real quick.
That's how.
And then jerk off, and you're like, what? And then I just did say nothing.
That's how important hiding spots were. Remember how important your hiding spot was?
Oh.
Like, and we had one. My friend had, like, his uncle had a porno tape, like the first VHS we got our hands on, and it got passed around for like weeks and weeks on end, and my tape went missing, and my dad had found the tape. And my dad was like, where did you get this from? I was like, oh, so-and-so was Matt's uncle.
That wouldn't have, by the way, in this moment, it wouldn't have worked to go, from you, Dad.
Yeah. I learned it from you. I was like, Matt's uncle. And he's like, it's pretty awful porno. And I was like, yeah, it is pretty bad. It's pretty bad. It's all we got. I was like, unless you're willing to go get something for us.
Yeah, Dad, we're 20 years away from browsers, so we're going to tell you.
This is what we need.
I just had a thought, and now it's gone. Oh, my brother found condoms. I brought condoms my first year when I went to Israel and brought them back fucking wrapped, unused, and I hid them under the mattress. Middle of the fucking mattress. And my brother was like, whose are these?
What's he doing, like, in the middle of your fucking mattress? How the fuck would he even get under there?
Exactly.
What kind of weird, creepy family is snooping under mattresses?
Yeah.
Or he was hoping to find something.
Yeah. Or he's a great brother and he was flipping your mattress because it was that time of the year.
That's the Shafir family.
Yeah. They care about their sleep.
Could have been. I was a long bedwetter, so maybe he's like, I know, it's starting to stink now, man. You got to flip this now.
I had condoms when I was like 15 years old. My friend's mom was like, took a group of us down to Mexico. Like,
I know that
their,
mom.
What? With their family.
I know that mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was like a, there was
did one of you become a man on that trip?
What's that?
Did one of you become a man on that trip?
One of us died. Oh. but she took a group of us, and we were like 15. We're like, we're going to Mexico. So I had condoms, and I was like, go to Mexico. We're going to go to bars because we knew we were going to go out and drink. And like, she was a mom that we knew we were all going to drink and that kind of stuff.
If you party with me, it's safe.
Yeah.
I know that.
That dude, that's half my mom and half his mom. I mean, I really am a garbage person. I am white trash to the bone. But I remember I had my condoms in my pocket and we're going through security at DIA. And I walked through and it was like metal detectors still. It was before the scanner thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, bang! And I'm like, fuck. And the guy's like, sir, is anything in your pockets? I'm like, what?
Just these metal condoms that I bought.
And my friend Zach's mom was like two behind us in the security line. I'm like, no. And I tried to be slick and dump it out of my pocket into the thing. Yeah. And all my friends were like, do you got condoms? And I'm like, ah. And that whole plane ride, they're like, why do you have condoms? Who are you going to fuck? And you're like, oh, fuck, this is worse.
You're like, I'm an optimist.
Yeah, that's what I was.
I got suspended in high school freshman year health class because I hated the teacher so much, and she was so condescending, and she handed out diagrams of genitals, and it was such a detailed picture of a penis, and to this day, I can still draw that penis exactly how it looks. And I would continuously draw that over and over, and I would make, you know, like little fun drawings of it, and I would give them out to friends in class. And one time I drew one where it was coming and drowning our teacher, like under a waterfall of cum. And she found it. They suspended me for a fucking week.
What?
Really?
For 5 days, I got suspended for that.
Question? Is it because the violence of him drowning? Or
her drowning.
Oh.
If it was a man, it would have been a funny bit.
Yeah. If she was swimming in the cum and surviving, would that have been okay?
It was pouring on her. She was like, her arms were like
That's why. Murder by cum is suspendable.
It is.
I got suspended for dressing up like cum.
What?
Because on homecoming week, there was
Ari's leg hair cum?
Yeah.
Or is that...
That means he just came on himself and forgot about it.
Yeah. I just walk in and I go, oh, sorry, everybody. I got all this jizz all over me.
Because it's Halloween 2 months from now.
We had like a themed week, the week of homecoming at my high school, where it'd be like different days. Like one day was like decades day, where you dress up as a different decade. And one thing was like a sports day. And I convinced my friends, I'm like, we should dress up as the Fallopian swim team. And just all, we'd get like white caps and wear all white and have like tails.
Yeah.
And we had like different names, like Sven Ballhair. It was dumb shit. We're potheads. We're 17-year-old potheads. And the dean was standing out front of my high school. I went to a really big high school. And we walk up in a group of six and he goes, no, 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 no. He goes, I know what that is.
I've seen this bit before.
Hey, this is called a hack. So he's like, take those swim caps off. That's inappropriate. We're like, all right, so take the swim caps off. Then I'm in math class. I'm like, man, fuck being censored. I'm not being censored.
Fuck being censored.
And I put my swim cap on, and I put the tail on, and I walk out, and that same fucking dean's right there. And he's like, go to my office. And I got suspended for 2 days.
Oh,
2 days? That's a two-dayer?
Two-dayer.
I'll give you another good suspension one.
Yeah.
We were such pieces of shit. Most fucking comedians as kids. We rode the bus with all these punk ass kids in my neighborhood, and there was a British girl that just moved into the neighborhood, and everyone was fascinated with her because she was beautiful and cool.
And but British.
Yeah, she's perfect. Everything about her was perfect, but like we all just had to make fun of her because we didn't know how to do anything. Get out of here. I like you, bitch.
Yeah. America's better than you.
So we would mock her and all this shit, and we had to sit in the front of the bus. We were relegated. Me and these punk-ass kids were relegated to the front of the bus because we had caused so much trouble in the back of the bus.
Yeah,
we used to open the back door.
Dude, that's what we used to do.
What?
During when it was going?
Yeah.
We had a stoplight and bail. By the way, you look back at that, that's so mean. Those bus drivers are making $7.50 an hour. Kids are just bailing out the back. And they're like, no.
We're lighting stuff on fire back here.
Fuck you, Earl!
Sit down and shut up.
So we relegated to the front of the bus, and of course, like Lisa, the beautiful girl, was like sitting like halfway with this other friend of hers, and then we started writing notes to Lisa and holding them up to make the whole bus laugh, you know? And it got gross and progressively worse, and of course, some asshole left the notes of that he wrote on the bus. Bus driver turned them in. We had to go sit in the dean's office, and he was like, I want to read every single one of these to you, and you need to tell me why you did that. And of course, it would be like, you know, Lisa's British butthole is cute. And it was like, it slowly got worse and worse and worse. And
how did you explain Lisa's British butthole is cute?
It really was. And then, of course, as he read each one of them progressively, we just laughed harder in his face as if that wasn't. He's like, the more you laugh, the more you're going to get suspended. I was like, but this is such a good bit for him.
Yeah.
He knows he's winning. I can't not laugh.
He knows he's starting to kill.
Oh, yeah, he's crushing.
He starts doing it like the Carson thing, or Letterman. He starts tossing the car.
Yeah.
He goes, next up.
I love him just laugh at teachers and just like they have no idea. We had a teacher that was going over true or yes or no questions of a test, and he was telling us what it was, and he just kept going yes, 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 and it just started going around like imagine him fucking to this.
Yeah.
And remember, he was like yes, yes, yes. The eye laughing. He's like, what? What are you laughing at? Dr. Bell, he's dead now.
Oh, fuck. We were taking the PSATs, you know, where you have to come in and practice, and it's always at your school. And we had football pictures, and so we were the sophomores, so we were running late, and we were taking the PSATs, and I was making my friend laugh, and it was near the end of it, and the proctor comes over, and she was like a teacher that I'd never had, and she's like, sir, do you think something's funny? Can you be quiet? And she starts spelling out quiet. She goes, Q-U-I. And I just look up at her, and it's those plastic chairs that are, like, rounded. And I just lift up a cheek and go, and my best friend just goes, bah! like a siren. And she goes, "You're staying." And I was like, "Fuck." And I got in trouble with her and my football coaches because I was like,
F-A-R-T. Yeah. I
mean, but the way the fart hit the ramp of that plastic chair.
Because it's perfect. It's, yeah.
It was like I bent a note like standing in front of an ant.
I like to think if she's listening to this right now, as you're talking that, she's like, "He's going to say this is a regret."
Yeah. No,
no. Like, oh, no. He's going to say this is a regret of his.
Yeah.
Like, no, lady.
No, that was fucking, that was one of the things where it was like, I regret that fart. Then I don't now.
Yeah. I regret my first fight. I regret my first fist fight because I got the shit beat out of me. I was like, I'm going to fucking fight this guy, and he's not going to talk shit to me anymore. And I should have just let him keep talking shit to me.
Who was it?
He just tuned you up?
He beat the shit. I was like, I remember practicing for a couple days with my friend Matt being like.
To fight?
Yeah, like he was like, we were coaching each other through videos that we had seen, you know, like in movies and shit. You were like, no, what they usually do is. And so we're sitting there and he's putting his hands up and I'm like hitting his hands. And I was like, as long as I get the first hit, that was my mindset. If I get the first hit.
Knock him out.
I didn't even get the first hit.
Oh.
I pushed him and before I could swing back, I was like, bluff. And my nose was like in my forehead.
Yeah, because you didn't know. While you were training with Matt, he was getting the shit kicked out of him by his stepdad.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the real
deal. You're a bitch, Matt.
Yeah. Good enough. And then he just comes to school. He's like, I'm ready to fuck someone up.
I regretted that so much. I should have just never seen
it. I got a fight that I regret. It was probably like one of the only fights that I ever won. It was when I was 12 years old. And I moved from living with my mom in Chicago to my dad in Oregon. And my dad also was dating a lady that had two kids. And he had one of the kids was close to my age as well. And we just kind of would butt heads, you know, living in close quarters, not knowing each other well. And we got in a fight. And it was the only fight like I ever really won. I was really calm about it. He just was not good at fighting. So I would just like hit him a bit, and then I'd even back up. I'd be like, "You have enough? Are we done now? Are we done?" And then he'd swing, and I'd be like, "Pop, pop, pop, pop!" And I was like, "Oh, I'm having fun. This is a good time." And then we eventually stopped, and then his mom was like crazy, and then she like found out we were fighting, and then you know, as all reasonable adults do, instead of like putting us together and hashing it out, she took my Sega Saturn and just smashed it on my dress.
Shit! Jesus.
Oh, that kid should have caught another beating after that.
Yeah, but which worked out for me because I got a PlayStation after because it was like the Sega Saturn was dead. Anyway.
Yeah, it was dead anyway. Yeah.
So she kind of knew where video games were headed.
Yeah, I think so. Mostly, she was helping me out. She's like, "You don't want this." She
goes, "Don't worry, Sega Saturn."
But she was just a horrible person, and just like my dad met her in like Narcotics Anonymous, which is not a good place to meet a person. And so they just, and then they end up doing like drugs together, her and the son, and then like the son OD'd and died.
Oh, what?
It did. And then like a couple of years later, she got hit by a car and she died. So like I really won that fight.
Yeah, point punches. Like, you injured that.
Don't, I say, just don't pick fights with me.
I regret.
That's on their graves, man. Yeah. That's great.
I regret not fighting my dad's girlfriend's son. Like, that's a fight. Like, I should have fucked that kid up.
Yeah.
Because my dad lived in this town north of San Francisco. It's just like white, real white trash. Like, it's just out there.
What's the name? Say it. Call it
Lake,
out.
I'll give the county. Lake County. And it's like real big on meth. You know, it was meth before meth. It was hipster meth.
NorCal meth is the deep meth.
Yeah, but he was dating this like real white trash lady that he like met at this fucking shitty bar, and she had two kids, like an older guy, Neil, that was 19, or Neil's 14, and then her older son Ryan, who was 19. And the 19-year-old's cool. I was 12, and the 14-year-old was just like, he like liked my dad and hated the fact that I was my dad's son.
Yeah.
So he would always be like, oh, like.
Oh, he was single white female.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it was like, you know, back in the day when the word faggot got tossed around a lot and my dad would walk out.
I actually never heard it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it was a fun term that we, you know, that actually hurts a lot of people when you use it. No, but my dad would walk out and he'd be like, you're such a little, like, he'd just talk shit to me and I'd be like, shut up, Neil. But he was fat. He was like big and fat. So I was like, I'm going to get housed by this kid.
Yeah.
And I regret not just fucking socking him in his dumb mouth.
You probably would have won.
No.
No?
No, man. He was rural. I would have gotten stomped out. But it would have felt good to put one in that fucking dumb fat face.
Where is he now?
God only knows. Probably dead. I put heavy money on dead. I put hopeful money on dead. Because his mom had Hep C, and that's what my dad got, and then got cirrhosis
in a divorce.
He's an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
So his mom killed my dad with her diseased vagina.
Hep C is not curable?
I don't know. I think there's a vaccine for it. I don't
What's
know.
What's that? That
cursed vagina. Cursed cave killed my family.
The tale of the late Countess.
The siren's call.
I can't wait to read that book in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good
one. The vagina that killed the town.
By the way, can I just mention this? When you mentioned Hep C, that girl and her boyfriend just like kind of cuddled together. So I don't know what's going on.
Listen, you can live a very long life with Hep C. But if you don't treat it and you drink, it'll turn into cirrhosis.
Have you ever gotten an STD?
No. HPV. But
that's like a fun one to get.
Yeah. That's almost like
that just means you're in.
Yeah, that's a passport without stamps. Yeah.
I got chlamydia and I paid it forward.
Oh, you get it? Good.
Good. Good.
Am I interpreting that right? Are they supposed to do things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're supposed to have a disease.
When did you get it?
To another person.
How long ago?
7 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Somebody just texted me actually. Like, I saw your an ad for your Netflix special. I just got a text from this girl, and I was like, I don't remember her. Like, who? Just a first name. I'm like, I don't know who this is. And she goes, yeah, it's funny. I'm telling my boyfriend, oh, that's the guy who gave me chlamydia. I'm like, oh, yeah.
You chlamydia clamp, Kim. I got you. Just the first name. That'd be great if that was in your phone as that.
Chlamydia check?
Yeah.
Gave it.
Yeah.
I got one in college that sounds worse than it is, but it was cool.
AIDS?
Yep. Sounds worse. You can fix it now. I got molluscum.
All right, that's what I
molluscum.
Molluscum contagiosum.
Yeah.
You had it too?
Yeah, I had molluscum first.
Guys!
I never had it.
Guys! Guys!
Is this the first molluscum panel at JFL?
It won't be the last.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you guys finish this because I have a fucking story about molluscum. But so, you go first.
By the way, so the girl that gave him molluscum, like
it's called molluscum
contagiosum. Yeah, sounds like you get it in the jungle and you're going to die the moment you get it.
I didn't get it from fucking.
Oh, I got it from fucking.
And
I,
no,
got,
I didn't.
I got it from a girl that no, I knew probably had something, and I just went full force and didn't care.
Isn't that like coolest shit in the world, though?
Yeah, that was hardcore, dude. No, I knew. A friend of mine was like, oh, she hangs around this bar a bunch. And I was like, yeah, but, you know. And then, you know, the end of the night, I was like.
And then, bloop, 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 bloop.
Dude, a couple days later, that's what's crazy. It's not on your penis. It's around my penis, right? It's like on your fucking waist and shit. So
not all of us. Skin-to-skin contact.
Yes. Not all of us.
It was on your dingle?
I didn't get mine sexually. I worked out at this grimy-ass gym, and then I went home and jerked off.
This sounds like a story someone tells
that one. I know for a fact.
Sure does sound like that.
Yeah. This is a lie.
I didn't fuck for a year. I had gone on like over a year dry spell. So
yeah,
I had
because you had molluscum contagion.
But I got it in that...
Sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
I remember being so frustrated because the doctor's like, you have an STD. I'm like, I haven't been fucking. And he's like, well, I like, told him, like, I work out at this gross gym. And he's like, yeah, you can. That's what he said. He goes, you can get it from working out or, like, putting your hands in dirty places and then masturbating. I was like, I go to this gross gym and jerk off. And he's like, that's exactly what did it.
A plus B equals C, Dan.
I picture him rolling his eyes when he said that. Where he's like, yeah, I guess that's how you got it.
But I really had it. I hadn't got laid. So I knew it was like from that. But yeah, it just popped up.
It freaked me out so much. And the first thought was like, well, this is it. This is permanent. Whatever it is, this is permanent.
Yeah.
I'm fucked forever. And then when I went to the doctor, and she was so sweet about it, and she was like, this is no... I mean, like, it's nice to go... Doctors are great because they've seen so much worse shit than whatever you think.
And you think it's the end of your world.
Yeah, and when they say it to you, they're like, no, this is fine. You'll be out of here in 5 minutes. And you're like, you're the greatest human on earth. Making me feel like this is all okay. And it was like just an ointment. And a day later, I was like, walking on sunshine...
You want to talk about regrets? It was when I was in that down spiral. The only family member I have is really my mom. So I call her. I'm like, I think I have warts. And she goes, it's not a big deal. I had warts in college. You're like, all right.
And for
When I had you.
She's like, dance. San Francisco in the 60s was a different. You're like,
lady. So here's, so I was going to hook up with this girl. She's like, I can't, I have molestment contagion. I was like, explain to me what that is. And then she was like, told me, she's like, it's highly contagious. Any skin-to-skin contact, you'll get it. And I was like, okay. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wear a condom. She's like, that's not enough. It's the
It's your pelvis. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, hold on, let me think more. And I was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Condom with my dick pulled out from the hole in my underwear.
You trying to do a hazmat suit?
Yeah. He said, you ever got this E.T. dick?
Yeah.
And I only fight you on the word tried because it fucking worked. I did not get molested with contagion and I did have sex.
Yeah.
No skin to skin contact.
Oh my God.
But then how'd you get it?
I didn't get it.
So you lied to us?
No. I said I have a story about
oh,
it.
Oh, he came close.
Yeah. I thought the story was going to be that you were like Andrew and I.
No. You guys are dirty.
Yeah. You're all real gross to me.
You never had anything?
Mm-mm. I mean, that was, I guess, the only plus of, like, dating and marrying your first girlfriend for a long time is that that didn't happen to me.
That's farm to table.
Yeah, really. Through and nowhere it's coming from.
Yeah, college was just that. That was.
Oh, dude, there was a girl. You want to talk about regrets? There was a girl that lived in my apartment complex in college that was, like, really hot, but you know, like just damage eyes where they have like the.
I sense a theme with girls with you, Dan.
I'm starting to pull out of it mid-30s.
It's getting better.
This girl, like, we started hanging out, we hooked up, and then she's like, I have a boyfriend. And I'm like, oh, that's not cool. She's like, it's all right, though. We're going to break up. And I was like, where do you work? And she's like, I work at TD's, which is a strip club. And I was like, oh, you're a stripper. And she goes, I'm a cocktail waitress. And then it was like one of those things where I knew how bad the situation was going, and then I still kept hooking up with her.
Oh.
And then one night, on my balcony smoking a cigarette, and the limo from the strip club comes into the parking lot to drop her off. And I'm like, I'm just going to lurk in the shadows and see how this goes. She gets out of the limo, and there's these guys at another apartment. They're like, hey, what are you doing? And she just goes, nothing. And they're like, come and hang out. And she's like, all right. And that's when you're like, oh, man, I'm banging a whore. Because, like, you wanted to feel special. And then, like, I saw that from the shot. I was like, yeah, goddamn, that's a big
come over here and have sex with us.
Okay.
Yeah. It really was that tone of, like, go beer pong. She's like, all right. Like, fuck. Because I thought it was, like, that was the first time a hot girl had been like, yeah, I'll sleep with you. And you're like, oh, I'm cool now. And then you're like, no, I'm not.
Lurking in the shadows just to feel the pain.
The first time I hooked up with a girl that was way out of my league, I was fingering her, and
okay,
didn't know when. To...
like,
I want that Ron's reaction to that to be in my head every time I finger a girl from now on.
Okay.
I was super young. I didn't know what I was doing. I was so nervous, and like the fact that she even let me touch her, I was like, this is fantastic. But like, I just didn't know. Men don't. We didn't know when to stop. I just kept fingering her. And I was like, if I just keep doing this, I think, you know, maybe this. Who knows? And then nothing. There was no other move to like keep going to something else. So at some point, she's like, we're like kind of kissing, and then she whispers in my ear. She goes, "That's enough."
That'd be great if she gave you the babe. If she goes, "That'll do."
That'll
pig.
Do, pig. That'll do. I regret the shit out of that. Not making this. There's so many times I've done that when I was younger. That was like. You're so nervous about doing the next move. You're like,
yeah.
Because you can't just take your dick out. You can now.
Paulie Shore, that was his main move.
Take the dick out?
Yeah, as soon as a girl would come into the green room, he's like, I'll just pull. You're nodding like you've been in a Paulie Shore green room?
He's you been alone with the weasel?
Yeah. He was giving us legitimate advice, me and Steve Simone. He was like, just pull it out, bro. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, are they going to suck it or are they going to leave?
Dude, I...
Wow.
Wow.
To know that Paulie Shore has that much confidence is infuriating.
It's so infuriating.
He goes, where are you going? Well,
where do we
But I bet you his success rate was pretty good.
Yeah, he was like, if they don't want to hook up, they'll just leave. They were left. They wouldn't have done anything anyway.
Yeah, but
he's the worst. He's the worst person in the world. Even when I was like, hate, you know, when you break up with a woman and you're so fucking, you hate her so much, and you ask your friends, ask her about it, and you're like, she's the worst person in the world. I would say that. Like, she's the worst person. She's the second worst person in the world. Polly's terrible.
Pulling his, I mean, that is incredibly confident. I did it drunken once in college. I was like, no, is this bad? Fuck, sorry.
And then I've never been that.
Bobby Lee pulls his penis out, not for sexual reasons, just because it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen Bobby Lee, he'll pull out his penis without any shame whatsoever. Tiger Belly will pull out his penis constantly.
Oh, yeah. He got beat up by this guy, Sergio Love, who's, I mean... had to be on heavy coke, but like big, but he looked like Godfrey, about the same size and blackness. And then and he pulled it out. He just didn't know. He was just like, no, I'm not gonna play. He just got on top of him and just grounded him, pounded him.
What?
Yeah, he just beat the fuck out of Bobby. Yeah, in the same place I beat him up.
But Bobby, but to be fair, Bobby would pull his dick out and then try to like put it near your leg.
Touch you
with
it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's not like he'd be like, it's my penis. He'd be like, he'd run up to you and try to like,
that's not fun.
It.
He'd look for hugs.
I mean, it's funny from far away, but to you, it's not so funny.
Yeah, up close and sexual assault.
It's a measurable distance of assault.
We had this game we called the cocking, and what we do at the Comedy Store. You never met Jim Painter, did you? We would. Mm-hmm. He loved it, but he was super homophobic. But he was just like my like sidekick, and he would like distract people. He was like, "Oh, look at that sign on the Hyatt," and then I would come up and just take my balls and dick out and just like rest it on the back of your hand while you were distracted, and you'd look. You'd be like, "What?"
Dude, in high school, there was this kid that transferred to my high school from Texas, and he was like this big defensive lineman, and that was like, that's like football locker room kind of shit, where they do, you know, gay shit all the time. They're like, you're gay if you like it.
You're gay, suck my dick, fag.
Yeah, yeah. Where you're like, no, you guys have done way gayer shit than anything. But there was this kid I went to high school with named Marcus Sias, who's like the toughest kid in my grade, and he played running back, and this kid James put his nuts on his shoulder. And just to watch it not go well was one of the most interesting things I've ever seen in my life. Because Marcus is talking, and he fits, and then he just goes, man, what the fuck? And then it was just a fight. And you're like, wow! It's like balls to fight like that. It was.
He fought with his balls out?
No, he had basketball shorts on. So he put
them back in?
Yeah.
And then fought.
So then, like, dropped them in. And then
so he did
just
a quick
fight.
Tuck and quick.
Yeah. You got to get your guard up fast on
that. You're backing up and tucking.
I think he flopped and then went to parry a shot immediately.
Dude, I played basketball in high school, and I never, ever showered in the locker room, ever. I had, like, four pro athletes at my school. Like, two guys that played pro football in the NFL were on the basketball team with us. Wow. I was like, you think I'm going to fucking be in the locker room with these grown-ass, big, beautiful black men and their massive cocks? My little fucking hidden turtle-shelled penis after a basketball game. It was so embarrassing. People would be like, why don't you shower? And I'm like... because there's pro male athletes in there
hanging out,
and they're so confident, like, hey, man, what's up, talking with their dicks out.
Yeah.
I was never privy to that world.
It's really hard to say good game with a shriveled penis.
Yeah.
Like, good game, they're very cold.
Even your penis doesn't mean it. That's a good game, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? I'll be in here. I hated that. I was like, these are like men. These are like fucking men. And three guys.
Yeah, but I think it's like, that happens at every age. I remember in middle school being like, oh, like this, my friend Adam was like good with girls. I'm like, oh, you're a grown up. I'm still a little boy who has X-Men toys. And he's like, yo, Becky, I touched her pussy. And I'm like, there's a new Wolverine out this week. And you're like, you feel completely off.
I switched high school to like the bad Jewish high school. I had some like non-religious people in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bad and I remember, Jews.
Yeah.
Bad Jews.
Bad Jew High.
Yeah. Well,
on this episode of Bad Jew High.
Central High, the fighting Hebes.
The side profile is the best of that, the fighting Hebes.
They'd have to go side profile. Yeah. Otherwise, how would you know?
Yeah, you would never.
But they were all in the student union. The seniors were there. And I was a junior, but I had no period. No class during a period. So I was like just studying there. And they were all talking about who should be valedictorian. And one of them was like, I think it should be who gets better grades overall. And then someone else was like, I think it should be extracurricular activities. And then the guy who just didn't study at all but got laid a bunch, he goes, I think it should be whoever fucks the most. I was like, damn, I don't like this school.
That kid was Ryan AIDS. He created the AIDS virus.
Whoever fucks the most. Hey, at one part of town.
I'm 46 years old, but I'm still in high school.
Back.
I own a chop shop up the street. All right.
Yeah.
If you guys could go back to college or high school and do something different again, what would you do?
I guess I would go back to high school and just not be so fucking in my head and hate myself as much.
because I think there was like a lot of fun that I just gave up because there was shit going on at home. But then I never really enjoyed like being a teenager. I don't know if a lot of people ever really enjoy being a teenager. And you look back and you're like, rent's covered, food's covered,
yeah.
And you get clothes, and then you're just like, just all these things are on top of you, and you don't enjoy it.
Yeah, the clock didn't exist. Do you remember what that felt like to have, like, the time wasn't a thing? Uh-huh. You didn't have to, like, consciously be like, I have to be at a thing.
No.
You're like, yeah, we'll just figure it out when the day happens.
They'll blow the whistle and it's Adult Swim. And you're like, oh, fuck. I guess that was 45 minutes.
I would probably go to college. I went to community college for, like, 3 weeks.
Really?
But then I was like, this is like high school with cigarettes. I don't like
I'm such garbage that I'm like, wait, there was cigarettes in middle school. What are you talking?
But it seemed like just culturally, like I miss out on a lot of little things.
College was fun.
Where people are like, oh, you remember these days? And it's like, no, I was struggling. And I had my son. I was fucking like stressed the fuck out working at a grocery store.
How old were you when you had that kid?
I was 20.
Damn. I was still a virgin.
Were you really?
Yeah, but for like a few years after that. It wasn't like I was about to lose.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
44. No, 23.
That's
23. I was 16. I was 16. I was early.
18.
Mm-hmm. Mine was in Marco Island, Florida. I traded a jug of fucking Captain Morgan's for a hotel room key.
What do you mean?
I was staying at like...
Are you just telling us riddles right now?
Figure it out if you may. How did Andrew Santino get laid? A jug of rum, an island.
You think it's a word problem. It's actually a math problem.
I was 16. We were staying with like family friends. Like his parents were with us. And like we fucking had... we had bought booze from this guy. We played Hey Mister. You know, remember Hey Mister? Can you please buy us booze?
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I did Hey Mister with cigarettes.
Same thing. Yeah,
when I was 12, being like, can you buy me a pack of cigarettes? And when someone would be like, no, I'd be like, fuck you.
I got asked.
Like, that's how big of a piece of shit I was. I would talk shit to them. Now I'm like, they were good people.
Yeah.
Like, I would never buy a 12-year-old cigarettes, and I would get so
Wait
offended.
A minute. Never.
All right.
Yeah. If he was a cool 12-year-old, you might know.
What kind of bike does he got?
Yeah.
Is it a Mongoose? Fucking dork.
Fucking
GT.
So get a GT or get out. Cool pegs. I'll get you cigarettes. You let me ride around on your pegs.
Those pegs tell me you're a Newport guy.
Slims all the way.
No, I traded this guy. Then this older dude in this group had a hotel room, and he was like, "You give me that bottle of booze, and you can fucking have my hotel room for like an hour." And so we fucking gave him a jug of Captain Rum, and I went with this fucking girl, and the rest is history. That was my first.
That's crazy.
In somebody else's hotel room.
Mm-hmm. He said if we gave him the handle of booze, that was like the kind of exchange. And I was like, okay.
That's a good exchange.
It was really cool.
It's a good trade.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of creepy for an adult to do that.
He stood there the whole time.
Yeah.
He had in the corner.
He's just chugging a thing of booze while he's near the door. He's like...
Flip him over.
Guys, like, I'm this guy. Yeah. I'm this guy's guardian angel. I lost my virginity in Cancun, Mexico, because that same. So we went on that trip, and then the next year, we were like, my friend's older brother was like, there's just a couple of us go. And I was 16, and I met this girl that was 19. I told her I was 18. And we're just like drunkenly kissing, and she's like, "I leave tomorrow. Let's go back to my hotel room." And I'm like, "Oh, awesome!
For what, to help you pack? What do you mean?"
I just kind of knew. I was like, "Yeah, all right." And I go back, and we start messing around. She's like, "My parents are next door," and I'm like, "This is awkward."
Even better.
Yeah. Wait, I don't want to come yet.
Are you saying you want to make an orgy?
Yeah. Well, tell them we're here. So we're having sex, and she starts getting like, first off, it's my first time. I don't know. You know, you're like, I'm
you lost your virginity on your first time?
Yeah. But I remember I was drunk, and I didn't know where, you don't know where to, you know, I didn't mess
Put
around.
Put the
long.
Penis. Yeah. Where to look. I get it.
I didn't know anything. And then you're just like, oh, this is how it feels. You're like registering everything, mm-hmm. and I'm hammered. And then she just started getting like crazy loud, and I just got like afraid. Because she was like, and she's black, and I'm white, and I'm like,
all right.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. But I'm afraid like her black dad's just going to come through and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, ah! And she kept being like, fuck, like she was like, fuck me. And I'm like, okay, but shh. And I remember being bothered. I had never sweated like that before. Sex sweat's different, where it rolls down your nose, yeah. And it's like, you're like, it's uncomfortable. I don't like this. And then I'm like having sex, and then she was like, she goes, fuck me in my ass. And I was like, oh, this is odd.
Too advanced.
I'm a beginner.
Yeah, I don't know
algebra.
Those settings are way too high.
Yeah, I was like, I just go, no. And then we're having sex. And then she, when I say no to anal sex, she goes, choke me. And I was like, firm? And then she rolled her eyes.
Oh,
and I
wow.
think that's when she knew I was a novice.
Yeah.
And then I just was kind of like, I didn't come. I was just kind of like, I was so nervous and like out of my element that I was like, okay. And I stopped. I was like, well, I'm going to leave. And it was just like, I pulled the condom off. I got dressed holding the condom. And then I walked. We're in my hotel.
All right, I'm going to take this with me.
Yeah. I didn't know what to do.
You got to keep it as a souvenir.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to go in a memory box.
Put it in a frame and have a little like insignia on the bottom. Yeah. Like,
get it wrong.
Yeah. But I remember I threw it in a bush, like walking, because there was like those outside hotel rooms.
That's where you put condoms.
Yeah. And then the next morning, my friends were asleep that I was with. So I woke up in the morning and I go, I had sex last night. And they go, no, you didn't. You're fucking lying. And then they wouldn't believe me the rest of the trip. We're walking by one of the hedges and the condom was still there. And I go, that's my condom. And like, friends don't let you get away with that. And my best friend was like, you put that there. And I'm like, you're an asshole. He didn't believe me.
I thought one guy was going to be like, put it back on and prove
it. Let's do this, Cinderella.
Depends how much it's unrolled, man. If it's yours, it's yours. I remember like one of the first times I had sex and I took off the condom, and then you look at there's still extra space because your penis isn't big enough to fill the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I would just unroll it all the way to be like, yeah, I filled up the whole thing, man. Yeah. Filled up the whole thing.
Like, it's pretty, it's there.
It's big. It's almost all the way there.
I always thought the saddest things about condoms is when you come in one and you take it off and you look at just the littlest bit of cum.
Yeah, yeah.
What? It felt like so much.
I like it when it like droops down a little bit and it looks like a fun little like droopy clan hood.
Yeah, like an emo clan hood, mm-hmm. where they're like
so disorganized started. KKK members. Yeah. Sorry, I'm late.
Like,
where have you been?
Look what my penis in it looks like. I'm just trying to infiltrate the KKK.
Like you see from Blazing Saddles.
Your black dick poking out. Like.
Has a condom ever
They'll broken? Never know.
Have you ever had a condom break?
Yeah.
Really?
It's the greatest feeling in the world.
That was the first time I had sex.
Because at first you're like, oh, this is so safe. And then you're like, this feels awesome. And then you pull out and you're like, no.
Oh,
it was a cheap... in New York City, they handed out these condoms, the NYC, where they're like subway themed, and you could rip through that thing like a wet paper towel. I don't have like a lot, you know, like it, multiple one of those broke.
It's crazy that it's so shitty because they hand them out in bars.
Yeah.
So like nobody's having like love sex with a girl you meet in a bar.
Darling, tonight let's consummate our love.
Let's go slow.
With these subway fuck bags.
Who had to leave it for, by the way?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Both all right. Yeah. Hey, how long do I get in here?
So this is the best part.
Oh, shit.
The best part about this festival is no one is doing it.
No one knows anything.
No one knows anything. It's my favorite. We could just be here for another 4 hours.
Yeah.
She wants to say something, but we're not going to let it happen. No, we're going to stay for a
second. Lord of the Flies.
5 minutes? Five?
You have until 5?
Oh, shit. I said I was going to meet people at 4:15.
Yeah.
Fuck. Well...
5 more minutes. Not because right, I have a show.
We'll wrap up. 5 more minutes. We'll wrap up.
Yeah.
Fuck, I get to 5. Why don't they tell me shit?
That's this festival. They don't tell you shit. This festival should be called "They Didn't Tell Me Shit." And man, I ran into my old agent again. Fucking. So that's such a.
Oh yeah. There's nothing like walking into a party nervously and you're like, hi.
Yeah. Hey. Or when it's in the line for something. I was by the bathroom.
Oh, so you gotta stay with them?
Yeah, and it was like, hey. And I was like, hey, I don't have to pee anymore. This festival is the greatest thing in the world to be able to see people that you don't get to see that often. That's like probably my favorite thing. When someone's like, oh, don't you love doing the festival? It's like, the comedy is fun, but seeing people you haven't seen is like my... This is camp. It's like fucking the best summer camp I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah, and then because we're such drama queens, we try to act like it's hard. We're like, I'm doing so many shows and I'm working so hard. And then they're like, this is fucking summer camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fucking privilege. It's a fun ass thing. And thanks for coming out. That's awesome. Yeah. You guys.
Way to
came.
Be earnest.
You guys are back.
Yeah. All right. Santino, people can find you online. At,
find me online, AndrewSantino.com, and my social is Cheeto Santino on Twitter and Instagram.
Is there an H in Cheeto? Like the second H?
C-H-E-E-T-O, Cheeto.
If you were Jewish, there'd be an H at the end.
I know. If I was Jewish, I wouldn't be here. I'd be rich and successful. And
I'm don't you love how Catholics see Jews?
Yeah, it's crazy.
If I was Jew, I'd be sleeping on a bed of money.
Yeah.
They can't sleep on things that they eat, Dan. Just watch. Just watch what happens.
Hmm? What? Where'd you get this? I had $100. Is this mine?
That's yours. It's got to be yours.
That's what I thought. Okay. Funches, you next. I don't want to put black people last anymore.
Thank you. Thank you. Now things are finally turning around. I'm on Twitter at Ron Funches, ronfunches.com. I'm doing a tour that's ending up in Milwaukee, Minnesota, Chicago. That's about it. I'm going to be on TV and things. That's it.
Are you on a show now?
I'm doing a few episodes of The Goldbergs on ABC.
Awesome.
How did you get on The Goldbergs before me?
Also, a way to really Jew up that sentence.
Yeah. How did you get on The Goldbergs before me?
Just, you know,
green.
General acting skills and like.
My biggest regret is booking all of you. DS, what do you got?
At Dan Soder, dansoder.com. And listen to The Bonfire on Sirius Satellite Radio with me and Big J, Monday through Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m.
His special is airing right now on the Netflix stand-up series of stand-ups. He is sixth, so just drop down.
All right. I don't know why you got to say it like that.
He's headlining it.
Thank you, Ron.
If you get that, I mean, it's like, where's he? Just whatever, he's there.
Yeah, I'm six man off the bench. Yeah. Tony Kukoc coaching it.
The best.
That's what I was, by the way, six man, number 22 from Hebrew Academy, Greater Washington.
I thought it was Bad Jew High, wasn't it?
That's why I switched it. That's why I switched it. And they, when we played against each other, Hebrew Academy versus Jewish Day School, the JDS fans started to chant, "We've got Ari, yes we do, we've got Ari, how about you?"
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
And now look at you.
Yeah.
Blending in with a chair and your hiking shoes. That's what happens. People are going to leave, like, people are going to walk out and you're just going to fall into the chair and stay there.
Yeah. You guys can leave. I'm going to do another 10 minutes, okay. I guess.
Bye.
Yeah. If you see Big J, I'm Mike Lawrence. Tell him I'm coming. I definitely should have left too. I realize now I made a mistake. This is the most anticlimactic thing I could have done. I only have guests on this podcast, and I've taken that away. Does anyone in here have a major regret they'd like to admit, either anonymously or otherwise? You just slapped your boyfriend in the face as if he has one?
No, he's my regret.
Oh. He's your regret. Man, that is fucking... Man, I would love now if the boyfriend just fucking punched you in the face. Just like, why'd you embarrass me? And just fucking unloaded on you. I don't know why I thought I would get somebody to fucking admit anything. That's ridiculous. But, all right. Do you guys have any questions for me as long as you're here? Do I really hate kids? Yeah, they're pretty terrible. I actually left the fucking party last night because some asshole was like, I heard your special. It was against kids, but I think you really want them. And I'm like, why would I do an hour of material about how awful they are? And then, can you look at my kid and look how cute he or she is? I couldn't tell from the picture, by the way. And I was like, yeah, okay. And like, look at that. And I'm like, I wanted to tell him. I'm like, no, your kid is ugly, man. It's an ugly kid. And instead, I just walked away. He goes, don't leave. And I'm like, yeah, you've driven me out of here with your awful fucking children pictures. That guy's name was Todd. I forget his last name. He's a radio DJ in Toronto. I went too far. I'm going to edit that out. Yes, question.
Just going back to the comedy store, like when you were starting out. Yeah. Like 7 years, I think you said it took for Mincy to officially pass you.
Yeah, I hope these cameras pick this up.
Looking back, From what I understand, do you think...
What is this, a foreword to your question? Can you get Tim Ferriss to go on and be like, she has a great question if you just give her a chance? Good question. No. No, she was just a bitch. She was riding me hard because she knows I'd take it. Yeah. Excellent question. No, I thought that too. I tell myself, like, she's working me harder to make me better, but it wasn't. She was like, I'll fuck with this guy. And that was the end of it. Man. I don't have any regrets about that time, by the way. That was fun times. Anyway. This is really the fucking worst way to end this goddamn podcast. Why would I not just go out with everybody? Yes, with the Expos hat. Did I find camping gear? I was going to go camping with Robert Kelly and Big J Okerson. I asked them each. I'm like, do you guys want to go? I'm going to go camping. We had 2 days off from the Nasty Show. And I was like, I'm going to go camping in like Gatineau or fucking Mont Tremblant or somewhere. And I'm like, do you guys want to come? And with no expectation they would come. And they were both like, yeah, for sure. I'm coming. And I was like, well, all right, I got to find camping gear. And yeah, I reached out online. I found a bunch. But then it was going to rain all day Monday. So we just went to a cabin and Robert Kelly cooked so much food. Like an unsettling amount of food. It was like each meal we had was like a wedding meal. And then we had that 3 to 4 times a day. Ah, I can't express it. You guys should have seen it. But yeah, anyway, yeah. I found. Did you have some? Did you reach out?
No, I figured someone else would get you.
Yeah, a bunch of people were cool about it. Like, yeah. You reached out to give me some? Yeah, what did you have? Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it. I definitely would have taken it if it wasn't going to rain all day Monday. It was going to fucking ruin it. There's no way those guys would have taken the rain. You should have seen Big J trying to get out of going. He goes, well, I mean, where are we going? Is this an official campsite? Are there going to be animals around? And I've heard this moment. So I just know, like, you, no matter what I answer, you're just going to go, oh, that doesn't sound good enough to me. So my answer was, Jay, calm down. It's going to be fine. And he was like, all right, I'll still come. Yeah, it would have been great. They were like, how can you find camping equipment? I'm like, people are fucking cool, man. Anyone who has camping equipment is a goddamn hippie. It's fine. What are we going to do to it? We're not going to fuck in it. Have you guys fucked in your tents? That's so dirty. Aren't you dirty? I never understood those people that fuck on like day 4 of Bonnaroo or anywhere outside, like in Burning Man. They're like, it's all fucking all the time. And I'm like, what? How gross. What, do you just wet nap it and then stick it in? Is that what you do? You shower? A bucket shower? Where? What do you mean?
You should have gone.
You Ah, fuck. Yeah, I should have gone. I'll go camping again. All right, you guys, here's the deal. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate it. I never know how to do these live podcasts. Last time I did it, I decided to try a serious one because my thought was always like, it's tough to do one in front of people because nobody gets that deep. You know, if you've heard, sometimes we talk about like molestation and shit, so it's hard to do that in front of like an audience when you want to make jokes. So like, I was like, I can't really do that stuff. But then I was like, why not? Let's try it. So last time I did a live one, it was in Toronto. I just did one about suicide. Yeah, with 3 people that had tried suicide. Allison Dorr, Nikki Glaser, and Chris Gethard. And it got fucking dark. And then someone had shown up just because, like, live podcast. I'll go to that. And then they were like, this isn't funny at all! Yeah, Nikki Glaser got all weird. She's like, I know I shouldn't have done this! And I'm like, it's okay, it's okay. Next time I do it live, I'm going to go some fucking dark, some shit like that. I'm going to go something evil. Yeah. Fantasies of murder. So, I don't know, something. Molestation stories, but giving. See if a live audience can get on board with that. It'll be like that scene in Not Your Born Killers when who's that old guy comedian? I get no respect. Ronnie Dangerfield. Yeah, he's like shitting on his daughter and like beating her pretty much, and everyone in the movie theater is laughing because it's like Ronnie Dangerfield. Yeah, or when John Lovitz is in Happiness is talking about killing himself. You know, and you're just laughing because you're like, I fucking love it. And he's like, I cared for you. Anyway, I lost you all on those. You guys, thank you very much for coming. Enjoy the rest of your festival. I'm Ryan Shapiro. That's the podcast. Have a good day. All my specials on Netflix right now. You guys, have you watched it yet? Thank you, Seven, for watching it. All right, bye.
But then again, take you to mansion.
that was the episode. Okay, so yeah, live episode, you know? What should I do in the future? What should I do? I don't know. I'll probably do some, like, serious ones. I feel like these offers are going to keep coming. At festivals. You know, to try to, like... they just tack shit on at festivals. So, like, we want more shows out of you. So, like, they're like, why not have a live podcast? So, sometimes I fight them, but sometimes I'm like, ugh, fine, whatever, I'll think of something. And then it's like, I don't know. Maybe I'll try some serious ones. Maybe I won't. Maybe it'll just be jokey ones. I don't know. But I like this one. It worked out. Regrets. Regrets. Or I've had a few. Remember that at the end of Goodfellas? When they played that version, the Sid Vicious version of that song, instead of, who's the fucking old Italian? Come on, Ari. Sidney Crosby? Nope. Hockey player for the Penguins. Frank Sinatra? God, Sidney Crosby. So you would think they would play the Frank Sinatra version, but no, that's what Scorsese is saying. This Goodfellas shit, it ain't like the old mafiosos. This is like new, a bastardized version of it. The whole thing. Even the fucking rat who turned on all his friends who just died. Joey Diaz said he spit in his grave. Not really, but he was like, good. I'm glad he's dead. Dude, my favorite thing to do on Twitter. My favorite thing to do, I think, right now. I don't know about favorite. But I really like, as soon as someone beloved dies, I mean, as soon as I hear about it, I sit down and I start crafting a tweet that's funny. But that shits on that person. No respect for the dead. That's not my job. So sorry to hear about the passing of... Come on, comedians. What the fuck are you writing serious texts for? Unless it has something to do with comedy specifically. Unless it's like, hey, they threw somebody in jail for fucking making a joke on stage in fucking Bahrain. This is bullshit. Unless it's something that specifically relates to that. Same thing with musicians. Write a fucking song about it. Unless it's like, hey, you know, fucking LP just got cancer. Can we raise some money to pay for his fucking cancer? I don't know. Maybe that's a bad example. Write a fucking song about it. Write a joke about it. So when beloved people die, I'm right there shitting on them. That's what you can count on me to do. If you follow my Twitter, I'm not asking for you to, but if you follow my Twitter, you can count on as soon as I hear about someone beloved, a John Ritter type, Adam West. Oh, man, I got a good one on him. Shelley Berman. Whoever. When Gene Hackman goes, I'll be shitting on him. That's my job, you guys. And then a lot of people will be like, it's too soon. No, it's not. It's too soon what? To fucking elicit anger out of you? To troll you and make other people laugh? No, never too soon for that. Regrets. I've had a few, and now it's time, that's not the right words, for the final curtain. For sure, that's the wrong order. Well, that was interesting, you guys. That was interesting. Thank you, Andrew Santino. You can catch that show, So I'm Dying Up Here. That has nothing to do with the book, which was an amazing book. I mean, almost nothing. It's based on characters from the book, which are just actual people from the Comedy Store in the 70s. So I don't know why they're even calling the same name. That guy who wrote that book must be like, so just free checks for using the name of a book that almost no one knew about outside the comedy community? Sure, I guess so. My favorite story of that was this guy wrote a book, a taut political drama about the uprising in Cuba. And about teenagers at the time and how they dealt with expats that were there. And this was not, you know, this was in the, I don't know when the uprising was, 40s, 50s, 60s. They had it in, wait, was that not Goodfellas? No, it wasn't Goodfellas. Which is the one? Yep, looked it up. Goodfellas. This is exactly it. What's the one? Oh, Godfather. That's what I was afraid I was mixing it with. Goodfellas got it. Okay, let me just understand this. This is why you can't trust things anymore. Goodfellas got an 8.7 out of 10 on IMDb. Well, that's a pretty good rating. 8.7 out of 10. The new War of the Worlds movie got a 9.1. Oh, I'm mixing it up with Rotten Tomatoes. And Goodfellas got a 97. Okay, well, that's fair. Oh, fuck, what was I going to say before I got distracted? Okay. So, this guy wrote this political drama set in Cuba during the revolution. That's where I got to. That revolution shit, that was in Godfather, right? When the brother was out there. You betrayed me, Mikey, or whatever, Freddie. Yeah. Anyway, it was optioned by the movie studios. They're like, hey, we want to make a movie of it. It's like, great, sure, sounds great. And then the guy hadn't really written any other books, or the books hadn't caught any success. So, he was struggling as a writer, but they optioned it, so he made a bunch of money. He's like, cool. But not a lot, just some. Unless they actually make it into a movie, you only get paid some. And then somebody else optioned it from them, and then somebody optioned from that group, and then it just kept getting optioned. At that point, he's not making any money. It's just somebody's buying the rights. It's kind of like when you have debt, and then some debt collection company ends up buying the debt. You don't owe more or less. Actually, you probably do owe less if you just talk to them. By the way, that's a way to do it. You just talk to them and say, hey, I know you're like the seventh company to have this debt. So the debt was $100. Somebody bought that debt because I was such a deadbeat for fucking $70, saying we can collect $100. And then they couldn't collect from you because, you're a deadbeat. And then somebody bought the debt from them for like $50, saying, hey, try to collect $100, but it doesn't look like he's going to pay for it. So I wouldn't even pay $50 on it. And then somebody bought the debt from them for $25. And then eventually somebody buys this $100 debt for like $2. And they probably won't collect, but if they do, $100. So you can just tell them, like, hey, listen, I don't have $100. But if you want right now, I can give you $20. And a lot of times, they'll be like, well, I bought it for $2. So, you know what? Fuck it. Let's take the $20. Just a tip. Anyway, so this guy kept getting this thing option. He's not making any money. And then eventually, they're like, okay, we're going to make it. And he's like, what, really? He goes, yeah, we're going to make it. But it's been optioned and rewritten so many times that the movie they made was Dirty Dancing 2, Nights of Havana. Can you imagine that? Writing a political drama and having it become that. I mean, wow. And then you got to be like, well, fuck it. Fine, I'll take the money. So I'm Dying Up Here has nothing to do with the show. I'm Dying Up Here. It was a great, great book. But anyway, watch Andrew Santino and that on Showtime. Could be HBO. I think Showtime. Ron Funches. Go see him live. I don't know what he's in, but he's always hilarious. Al Madrigal was not in this. Don't know why I brought him up. Dan Soders on The Bonfire, Sirius XM. Every day with my friend Big J Okerson. With our friend, Big J Okerson, and he's in that show Bazillions, and that's it, you guys. I hope you had a good time. Enough of the final song before we go out. You're not gonna know what the words mean, but it means I have no regrets. No, I fucked up. That was the opening song. I'll use that for the opening. Edith Piaf. I didn't know much about her. No, what I'm going to go out is the final song from Weezer's Pinkerton. Butterfly. It's just a song. By the way, Pinkerton is one of the best albums of all time. You know what I do with my special? Where it's like, it's the whole thing is a theme. It's about life, about children, and about adulthood. Well, that's why I named them. It's about, this life they want you to have, these kids they want you to have on one end. And on the other hand, it's about if you don't have kids, if you don't have a wife and kids and this normal fucking life or husband and kids, what are the options? How can your life go? Well, you can't be having this STD calls, STI calls, whatever they're called. If you have that normal picket fence wife and a kid, you can't go to fucking Thailand to explore, I guess you got to watch the special. I don't want to ruin it for you. Can you believe I have to worry about spoilers for a fucking special? Go watch Children in Adulthood. A lot of people are saying Adulthood is their favorite. I don't really care which one's your favorite. Watch them both. Really enjoy both of them. I mean, it's like saying, you know, the second half of The Wall is your favorite half. Okay, fine. It's just The Wall, though. It's a double special. Enjoy it on Netflix right now. It's streaming, called Double Negative. Yeah, watch it in whatever order you want. Netflix told me to tell you that you should watch Children first, because then it'll automatically play into Adulthood. But if you watch Adulthood first, it won't automatically play into Children. It'll just automatically play into Narcos, or the next thing. But the reality is, I don't care which way you want to watch it. Ideally, I would have had them just keep flipping and reversing. Flipping and reverse it? Should have gone with that. And so every new person that clicks on Double Negative gets a different first track and a different second track. You know, just a randomizer. But that technology is not there. So watch it in whatever order you want. Anyway, so Pinkerton is Weezer's second album. They fucking had a huge hit with the Blue album, you know, with If You Want to Destroy My Sweater, I'll Take My Car to Work, You'll Take Your Car to Work, I'll Take My Board, all those things. Jonas, my name's Jonah. Dun, 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 dun. Wow, that was a great song. I gotta interview something named Jonas so I can use that song. Does anybody know any really interesting people named Jonas? I gotta do some dream stuff. I've had a few dream podcasts that I've been wanting to get on, and I should get on them. Yeah, I'm gonna do that. Anyway, so Pinkerton held together as a whole album. It's not a collection of songs. It's a love album. It's almost like a love letter. I mean, it's great, and it made the band break up because it didn't get critical success. And they kind of broke up afterwards, and then they did a reunion show. From what I understand, when I remember, they did a reunion show and it was mobbed. And they're like, wait, what? And people are like, oh no, people love you. But Pinkerton sold like 40 albums, 40 copies. And they're like, I guess it caught on later. It's a great album. And at the end is just a song that talks about regret. And I don't even know what uses the words regret. But it's just a man who's just sorry about how the way things went and who wouldn't have liked it to go that way. Great album. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 302. What is it? I have no regrets? No. I regret nothing. For Ron Funches, Dan Soder, Andrew Santino, I'm Ari Shaffir saying so long. Yes, I did it right for once.
I'm sorry for what I did. I did what my body told me to. I didn't mean to do you harm. Every time I pin down what I think I want, it slips away. The ghost slips away. Smell you on my hand for days. I can't wash away your scent. If I'm a dog, then you're a bitch. I guess you're as real as me. Can live with that. Maybe I need fantasy. Life of chasing butterfly. I'm sorry for what I did. I did what my body told me to. I didn't mean to do you harm. Every time I pin down what I think I want, it slips away. The ghost slips away. I told you I would. return when the robin makes his nest. But I ain't never coming back. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.